This is the Anderson Files on PodClip. The Anderson Files is a look at commerce, investment, economics, and retirement issues that affect each and every one of you. Your host is Mike Anderson, Executive Vice President, Retirement Services, and partner of Finestone Partners. Finestone Partners is an independent firm with securities offered through Four Point Capital. And now your host, Mike Anderson.
This is the Anderson Files. I'm Mark Allen, sitting in for Mike Anderson. Our guest is Mike Anderson. Every little bit, we take some time out from interviewing leaders in the financial services industry, and we do a market and economic update, and that's what we're going to do on this episode of the Anderson Files. Mike, thanks for having me sit in.
I am so happy that you have been available to take the hosting responsibilities today. Thanks, Mark.
We're with our engineer and producer, Daryl. We have you. We've all had vaccines, at least the first one. I think Daryl and I have had number two. But a bigger percentage of the population is or has been vaccinated, and more every day. With this positive effect, is it going to affect the economy in general? Are we going to get back to business as usual, do you think?
We're already seeing the positive effects of the wave of completion of vaccines across the U.S. And since January of this year, the number of hospitalizations have dropped dramatically. Fortunately, the number of mortalities have also dramatically dropped, and all very, very good. And the confidence of the consumer getting out again as in doing what they would normally do. A colleague of mine back in Florida, an analyst, securities analyst, came out to California for a wedding last week and, you know, took 2-3 days to kind of acclimate being out in public, being at an airport on a full plane. But he said 2-3 days, you know, he was fine and they made it back just fine. But, you know, we're seeing this, the consumer getting back out. Instead of being the stay-at-home consumer, they're the out and at large consumer, and we're already seeing it. This morning, we saw retail sales surged in March. They were up 9.8% over February, and you know we're March of last year. Look where we were. You know, the market was down at its worst point, 35%. It was the worst performing month in the history of the U.S. markets. We saw unemployment going into April, May, dropping off to 20% unemployment. So big improvement, but we really are starting to see the positive effect. Together with the fourth stimulus, a lot of inexpensive money coming back into the economy through the fourth stimulus package. Interest rates continuing to remain low, companies feeling confident enough to do some capital spending, and those projects that have been pending, hey, let's get out and do what we were planning to do last year. And together with the initial public offering market, you know, the for companies that want to go public, we're seeing a surge in the number of IPOs over the last several months now. And that's because there's enough confidence to go out there and take some risks.
This week, as we're recording the show, the second week of April 2021, the market reached an all-time high again. How does the market affect the economy? Isn't that one of the best indicators, or is that not accurate?
It is. It's a very good indicator. And unemployment and the level of the markets tend to go together. There's this very strong correlation historically. The lower the unemployment, more people working, you're going to see a very strong correlation to the level of the markets. The markets also tend to look about 6 to 9 months ahead. And looking ahead 6 to 9 months, the question is, do things look like they're overall getting better or they're overall getting worse? And right now, we're in this phase where the overall picture is things are going to be better in 6 to 9 months. So fueling the market, the anticipation of even lower unemployment, more spending, more demand for goods and services. The outlook is quite good. But yeah, there's a very strong correlation between the two.
Right now, people are also wondering about inflation, the I word, and they're worrying about it. I've been reading about it. Some analysts say, yes, it's a problem. Others say, no, not going to be a problem. And at the same time, I think we need a little bit of inflation, something I don't really get. But again, I'm not an analyst.
In your next life, you can become a financial securities analyst. So something to look forward to, right?
Yes. Oh, boy.
Or inflation. That's a word that has come into the mainstream again over the last month and a half, 2 months, kind of disappeared there for quite a while. But it's really a reflection of demand picking up. And to a certain degree, inflation is good because it's indicating there's demand out in the marketplace for goods, for services. In turn, it's an incentive for companies to expand and to do more with their companies. So right now, the coming into the picture is that inflation will pick up. I don't think, though, it's going to pick up to the point where it will start to be a hindrance to growth. So for such a long time, our cost of living, inflation has been so benign, a little is quite good.
This is the Anderson Files. I'm Mark Allen sitting in for our guest, who is Mike Anderson, and we are proud to be part of the podclips.io family. Picking up on inflation again, a lot of naysayers or doomsayers, as I actually like to call them, say you have to protect yourself against inflation. It's coming, it's coming. Yet I personally don't see it. Maybe it'll go up a little bit, but it won't be anything like you need, you know, $35 to buy a loaf of bread.
Yeah, I agree. The probability of inflation getting to the level where it starts to hurt the economy, it starts to hurt growth, individuals' purchasing power starts to erode. We're long ways away from that level. We're in an environment where, you know, Fed funds rate right now is 0 to 0.25%. You know, in other major economies, Germany, Japan, they still have negative rates. So a little inflation is, in for the time being, in this circumstance, is actually good because it's showing a demand for money and that there is growth. The Mark, for the naysayers, we know they're always going to be out there. They're part of the arena. You know, what would we do without the naysayers? You know, it helps me create a counter argument. You know, so they're always going to be there. I think, like everything else, the individual, couples, families, companies, you have to keep your eyes and ears open. So don't ignore it. But it's not necessarily anything right now that we need to worry overly about.
The other word that comes into mind, the other I word, is interest rates. And you've already said that they're at a low. They are creeping up a little bit. I know that with the low interest rates, the real estate market, and one of our sister programs on podclips.io is called The Mortgage Voice. And I know that in talking to people, I just talked to somebody the other day. He sold his house. He got over asking. Now he's looking for another house. And in looking for the other house, he's put in offers, but they're going over asking price. And is that because of the low interest rates?
Well, on the real estate front, the biggest issue there, even above interest rates, is lack of supply. And your colleagues that are realtors, first thing they say is lack of supply. Is this demand, why these bids are coming in as rich as they are? That's number one. As far as interest rates, though, in general, and then for the real estate industry, for mortgages, the Federal Reserve has signaled very clearly that they're not going to raise the Fed funds rate, the rate they control, for the next year or two, at least. And it's very rare that the Federal Reserve signals that clear message. So right now, we're at 0 to 0.25%. That's where we are. And they've even signaled that even if inflation picks up a little bit, we're not going to hurry to raise rates. A little inflation is probably good, as we just talked about. Now, for mortgage rates, a lot of that's tied to the 10-year Treasury note. And the Treasury note, well, the rate on that is going to fluctuate. Last fall, it was about 0.60% on an existing 10-year Treasury note. Okay, right now, it's about 1.55%. So we've seen the mortgage rates creep up a little bit because that benchmark, they're tied to that benchmark. So we're seeing them creep up a little bit, but they're still very historically very competitive. You know, you can still, you know, a person with a decent financial profile can still lock in a 30-year fixed rate below 3%.
Which is
a gift. It is a gift.
Let's talk about precious metals just for a minute. Now, I know this isn't your exact area of expertise, but I know that you're aware of it. A lot of people are investing in metals. And are the prices of gold and silver, are those up right now?
This is an interesting period for precious metals, gold, silver, platinum. Yeah, it's an interesting period. Last fall, gold hit a cash spot price high of around $2,050, $2,060 an ounce.
Wow.
Okay. Right now, the cash spot price is between right around $1,700 to $1,750 an ounce. So it's come down, even though the anticipation that inflation will pick up a little bit, which we're seeing, which historically is supposed to be good for gold, okay? Another thing that historically is supposed to be good for gold is a weaker dollar, okay? So the weaker the US dollar, there's an inverse relationship, tends to support the price of gold. Now, the dollar's kind of been holding steady. It's not really moving up. It's not really moving down. Okay. It's been remaining steady. Another factor has come into the arena, another variable, and that's Bitcoin. What we're seeing is folks utilizing Bitcoin as an inflation hedge. where
interesting
exactly normally or historically gold has been that inflation hedge. There's others, but it's one of the main ones. Okay. And the interest in gold as an inflation hedge right now has been pretty benign. You know, it hit the high, gold hit a high a few months ago in the just above 2000, and then came back down, is now hanging around 1700, 1750 an ounce. And it's kind of been sitting in this range for quite a while. So gold has not been ignited yet.
I have a problem with Bitcoins, and we'll talk about that in a second. This is the Anderson Files. I'm the guest host, Mark Allen, and we are proud of the relationship we have with podclips.io. Join us there and see all the great programs that are featured on podclips.io. Our guest is Michael Anderson, and Mike is giving us a market economic update. Let's talk about Bitcoin just for a moment. I just think that Bitcoins are going to crash somehow. I don't understand them. I've tried. To me, it's almost like buying gold. So you have a bar of gold, let's say 1 pound of gold. You go to the supermarket and you need to buy that $35 loaf of bread. You take a knife and you cut off a little sliver and give it to the baker, and a little bit more to the butcher, et cetera. Obviously, that's not going to happen. You have to convert that gold into dollars so you can spend it. With Bitcoins, because it's kind of, to me, imaginary money, do you convert Bitcoins into dollars?
Well, it's even easier than that, where vendors will accept electronic Bitcoins for payment to settle a purchase. So ultimately, and you've got, you know, companies, service providers, those that produce goods and services already voicing and advertising, communicating out, yeah, we'll accept payment for this service or that product with Bitcoin. From just a practical standpoint, the concept behind Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies to settle purchases, both at the consumer and a company and company level, on a large commerce level, it's very practical because it's an instant settlement. It doesn't take days. There's a permanent trail that exists forever on the transaction, and you're paid. The party that's looking to be paid, that's done. You know, the transaction's done. So from for an international wire transfer from the US, let's say, to India, that could take several days.
Right.
In the traditional banking system. Here, it's a matter of seconds. So from a practical standpoint, from a settlement standpoint, it's very efficient. It has no intrinsic value. Okay, Bitcoin has no intrinsic value like gold does. It has no intrinsic value like the U.S. dollar, because behind the U.S. dollar is a huge government that has the right to tax, produce debt, collect money, pay interest, and it owns a lot. The U.S. government owns a lot of things. So it's a very interesting thing. My take, Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies are in the early stages of development. This sector is, I think, will look very different 4, 5, 6 years from now than today, just like the IT industry looked very different back in the 80s, you know, Apple, Microsoft. You look at them today, they look incredibly different. They've evolved. So that's, I think there's no question it's highly speculative. There's a huge amount of risk just inherent in it. And I think it's going to look very, it's going to evolve very quickly and look very, very different than what it does today.
What about governments taxing Bitcoins? Has that happened yet?
Not yet, but it will probably eventually occur. You know, the government regulatory agencies, Congress, the administration is still getting their arms around what is Bitcoin, and eventually being able to regulate it. It's probably going to happen at some point. There'll be some taxation probably at some point, but as we know, that doesn't exist now. You know, when you go to file your federal and state taxes, you know, your CPA is asking, by the way, do you own Bitcoin? Have you transacted a cryptocurrency? Can you please give me a paper trail of that? You know, you're on the honor system, you know, as to what's going on. But like everything else, you know, I would be shocked if the U.S. government did not eventually do just that.
Well, I guess, Mike, the economy is moving forward. Unemployment is down. And that's really your take on the market today. In our remaining time, I just want to ask you about your UCLA Bruins and college basketball. Are they back as a force? They've done pretty well in the NCAA tournament.
You know, they did remarkably well. The Bruin Nation is extremely proud, and they upset a lot of teams that, you know, they were going to slice through us like butter, and it just did not happen. And, you know, we play real defense, and we've got a very solid offense. And I think, you know, what our coach, Mick Cronin, is doing a fantastic job. The guys are doing a fantastic job playing as a team, and we totally expect they're going to be a force to reckon with for a long time to come.
Mike, thank you very much for having me sit in. I'm going to turn the chair back to you as we wrap up this edition of the Anderson Files.
Mark, thanks so much. Thank you, Daryl Wayne, engineer. Mark Allen, producer. I'm Mike Anderson, and this is the Anderson Files on Podclips.io. Keep calm and keep listening.
You've been listening to the Anderson Files with Mike Anderson. Visit us at podclip.io and check on the financial box for more information on the Anderson Files.